Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, this morning we continue in our study of the Holy Spirit as taught by Jesus Christ. We have covered how Jesus Christ presented us with the problem, how we're not able to bear the truth of Scripture, and then He introduced us to the solution by the sending of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we continue with the teaching by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, plus some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to the things that He would have us to see and understand about His ministry and its relationship with Jesus Christ and His relationship with us. Let us pray. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the Scriptures, and how thankful we are for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Scriptures to us that we might understand them. We pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. The teaching on the Holy Spirit is so confusing today throughout churches. Some are totally occupied with the Holy Spirit and having charismatic experiences. To the other extreme, very little to no teaching on the Holy Spirit, to erroneous teaching on the Holy Spirit, and few even deal with how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and many of those who address how to be filled with the Spirit are incorrect. That is, they teach that we're filled with the Spirit, coming out of sin into the filling of the Spirit, by works, by something that we must do. Just as wrong as many who teach eternal salvation by something that we must do other than simple faith. Now we're looking briefly at the Holy Spirit from the teaching of Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ is our example in spiritual love. We are to love as He loved. He is the author of our faith. We studied that. And He is the example of prayer. But Jesus Christ is the primary teacher on the Holy Spirit in all of the New Testament, the Gospels in the New Testament. Now, continuing the sending of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ, we've looked at John 14, 16, and 17, and John 14, 26. Now, let's look at John 15, 26. So, if you will open your Scriptures to John 15, verse 26, where Jesus Christ deals with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness of Jesus Christ to believers and to unbelievers. Verse 26 of John 15. When the Paraclete comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. Okay, Jesus Christ bears witness of God the Father. That is, Jesus Christ takes us to God the Father by faith in Him, Jesus Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit takes us to Jesus Christ by faith in Him, the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus Christ began this discussion, and we're dealing with in John 15, with the hatred of the world toward believers, and how therefore we would need spiritual love, which we have already covered in this basic series. Verse 12 of John 15. Now He ends the discussion on the hatred of the world with the Holy Spirit. Discussion on the Holy Spirit. In order to witness for Jesus Christ, especially under severe adversity and hatred and maltreatment by the world, we must have and are in need of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the Paraclete comes, both the NIV and the NASV omit the opening conjunction day, but the King James starts off with but. Now, how are we to understand this conjunction? It contrasts between what the world will give and what Jesus Christ will give. The world will give us hatred, adversity. Jesus Christ gives us something stronger than the world. That is the Holy Spirit. So therefore the conjunction, but when? Now, the word when is not an adverb of time, but it introduces something that will occur that they would wish for and hope for. Then we have the definite article, the, specifying the helper, the paraclete. Now, your King James says that it is the comfort, translates it comforter. The NIV, the counselor. NASV, the helper. Okay, the word in the Greek, as we have on the PowerPoint presentation, is parakletos. Parakletos or paraclete is the what we are going to note him by. And he's found in John 14, 16, and 26. John 15, 26. John 16, 7. Translated, comforter, counselor, helper. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it is rendered by the word advocate. The verb parakleo refers to the act of calling someone to one side in order to work for that one, to call or to be on the side of someone. Only in the widest sense do we want to translate and understand this as helper, one who aids another. In the three passages in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit is called comforter. Not that he comforts him and as consoling him merely, but that he is sent by God the Father, he is sent by God, Jesus Christ, to aid the Christian in the sense of ministering to him in his spiritual life. In the first epistle of John, 1 John 2:1, Jesus Christ is called the Parakletos, the advocate. That is, Satan goes to the top side to heaven, accuses believers when we sin. Jesus Christ is our defense attorney. He stands up and says, all sins have been taken care of by me on the cross. Case closed. Now, it will help to note the four contexts where this word, parakletos, is used by Jesus Christ. Okay, first of all, upon his departure from earth, he would not leave the disciples or us alone. He will send another one just like himself, only spiritual. So this will be not where he is physical, this one will be spiritual, as in John 14:16. Secondly, in 14:26, the paraclete will be the teacher of the divine word of God. And thirdly, here in 15:26, dealing with the suffering brought on by the world, he will be a witness, witnessing of Jesus Christ. And we'll see later that he also glorifies Christ. And then fourth, in 16:7, the sending of the Holy Spirit to convict the world concerning the gospel. So, in these four passages, we learn four things about, some more things about the paraclete. He comes to take the place of the physical Jesus Christ, who is going to depart, sits in heaven. This one comes and takes his place. He is spirit, whereas Jesus Christ was physical. He will never leave us. This deals with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He is the seal of our salvation. We follow him as we follow Jesus Christ. As they followed Christ, we follow the Spirit by faith. He comes to teach us the Word. People, we cannot understand the Word of God in truth without the Holy Spirit. In time of suffering, he comes to give us courage to witness for Christ in spite of the suffering and the hatred of the world. He is sent to every unbeliever to convict in the hearing of the gospel and understanding the gospel. Also, in all three of these promises, the coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ tells that he will comfort them, give their hearts peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, I am going, but I will send another paraclete. I will send the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about knowing enough truth. I will send the Holy Spirit. Don't be troubled by the hatred of the world. I'm sending you the divine comforter, that is the Holy Spirit. So people, we've seen before, and we see it again, there is no one English word, or even an English phrase, that can correctly translate the Greek word referring to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to translate it as paraclete. Don't be alarmed when every time you say Christ, that's a transliteration. That's not a translation. So this time we're going to deal with the Holy Spirit. Just call him paraclete. To translate this helper is misleading. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. The English word helper implies that two work together to accomplish a task. You're pushing a car, someone comes along, help me push it. And that is erroneous if you apply that understanding of helper to the Holy Spirit. The work of the first and second helper, paraclete, does not mean that we can do anything to help. This is not a partnership. Your eternal life salvation was not a partnership between Jesus Christ and you, where you did your part and he did his. It's simply by faith. Faith is doing nothing but trusting. So the same is true in dealing with the Holy Spirit. The best way if we want to understand it as helper would be like someone who is injured, an aide, or someone the doctor comes to help. You don't help the doctor. You're lying there unconscious or bleeding or whatever, but he helps. So he's the help in that sense. So only in that sense do we want to understand this as helper. Jesus Christ is our paraclete, and the Holy Spirit is our paraclete. Jesus Christ saves, delivers, same word in the Greek, save or to deliver us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit saves or delivers us from the power of sin. So Jesus Christ saves us, delivers us into eternal safety. See, Jesus Christ saves us, delivers us from the penalty of sin, but that's only half of it. Delivers us into eternal safety. The Holy Spirit saves or delivers us out from the power of sin as believers, but the Holy Spirit also delivers us into a spiritual peace and safety and dynamics, a spiritual dynamics of the believer in his life. So both concepts are seen in the parakletos, the paraclete, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Both deliver man from one horrible, helpless, hopeless condition into another wonderful place that he delivers us to. The point, there was nothing that man could do to secure either of these conditions. Nothing that we can do to move us out from our unrighteous state. Remember, we started off with the 10 questions of Job. At unrighteous state, nothing we could do to make ourselves righteous. Nothing whatsoever. We cannot make ourselves clean, pure. It was totally the work of Jesus Christ. We were in need of him to move us, to impute to us, to give us his righteousness. Now, nor could man do anything to move out from move into a state of peace, eternal security, being reconciled with God. So we could not move ourselves out from a condition. We could not move ourselves into a condition as unbelievers. But if we take that pattern and learn from it, the same thing is true in our spiritual life. We could not move ourselves out from the power of sin, carnality, into spirituality. We could not do it. So we could move ourselves out from carnality, being temporally dead as believers in sin, nor could we move ourselves into spirituality, into the light, into fellowship with God. We needed someone else to do that. God sent his Son to do the first deliverance. He sent his Spirit to do the second deliverance. We trusted the first deliverer, Jesus Christ. We trust the second to do what he was sent to do, that is the Holy Spirit. So God sent to mankind a helper, if you please. That is someone who could and would do it all. Provide the means out from condemnation to security. He sent his son as our paraclete. And having completed his work, Jesus Christ left the earth. He departed from earth. He sent to us another paraclete, just like himself, deity, who would deliver us as believers out from the depth of temporal sin into the spiritual life. So only if you understand a helper in the sense that Jesus Christ does it all, only if you understand helper in the sense that the Holy Spirit does it all, should we translate this helper. There's nothing that man can do. Then comes the question, how do we receive this help? How do we receive this deliverance from either Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit? And that's why we, at the beginning, took up the gospel, and that it's by faith alone. Faith is the only thing a dead person, as an unbeliever, can do. Faith is the only thing that a dead person, as a believer, dead in sin temporally on earth, we have eternal life, but when we sin, we're temporally dead. Nothing that we can do. Faith is the only thing we can do. It is up to Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, both sent by God, to deliver us out of this condition. So, how can we receive this help, this deliverance, this salvation? By either Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit? God came up with a grace solution. And it has to be by grace. And the only thing compatible with His grace is faith. Non-meritorious. Faith is a passive verb whereby we receive the work of God. We receive the work of Jesus Christ. We receive the work of the Holy Spirit. Complete help. If you want to say helper, complete helper. I guess if you really you've got to use the word helper, put the word complete in front of it. Because we do not do any part. Ours is simple faith, which is simply receiving His work. So, grace through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Holy Spirit. And this would have to be the same way of receiving complete help. Deliverance by both parakletos, both paracletes, is by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the Holy Spirit. Verse 26. When the paraclete, let's just translate it paraclete, comes, whom I will send to you. Okay? Here is the care, the love of Jesus Christ. Here we're seeing spiritual love in action. Spiritual love sees a need and meets that need to the best of its ability. Jesus Christ sees, I'm going to leave. They, meaning the church, believers, you and I, going to need a paraclete. So, whom I will send to you. Whom I, Jesus Christ, will send. The word to send there is a beautiful word. It emphasizes the relationship of the one who's doing the sending with the one who is sent. It emphasizes the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. See? So when you want to walk with the Lord as Christians, you want to walk in the paraclete whom He has sent. That is, in the Spirit, who will take us to Jesus Christ, as we'll see. So, to you. And this is what we call an advantage, state of advantage, to your advantage, for your advantage. Going to send this paraclete for your advantage. From the Father. Well, very quickly, this emphasizes the wonderful relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. So, we have so many relationships going on here, people. I don't want you to miss it. God the Father, His relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ's relationship with the Holy Spirit, God the Father's relationship with the Holy Spirit, God the Father's relationship with the world, Jesus Christ's relationship with all who believe in Him, and the Holy Spirit's relationship with the world, unbelievers, and with believers. It's about relationship. That's why Christ came. We can have relationship with the Father. That's why the Holy Spirit comes, that we can have a relationship with Christ. It's about having a personal relationship. People, the Christian life's not about doing for God. It's about a relationship with God. Relationship with Christ. Okay. I will send to you from the Father, that is, now he's going to specify who he's going to send, the Spirit of Truth. And we've dealt with that title. It's a title of the Holy Spirit. Who? Relative pronoun, referring to the Holy Spirit just mentioned, proceeds, that means to come from, just very quickly without developing it, from the Father. Okay, let's note a few things. One, in John 14:16, God the Father gives the Paraclete in answer to the request of His Son. Two, in John 14:26, God the Father sends the Paraclete in the name of Jesus. People, what am I spending this time for on this basic series? Because to me, as important as Jesus Christ is for your salvation and understanding it, knowing and understanding the Holy Spirit is important to your Christian life. And the greatest teacher, most extensive teacher on the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ Himself. The more we understand of Jesus Christ, the more we understand of the Holy Spirit, the more dynamic will be the Christian life. So point one, in 14:16, John 14:16, God the Father gives the Paraclete in answer to the request of His Son, relationship of the Father and the Son. In John 14:26, the Father sends the Paraclete in the name of Jesus. And then three, in John 15:26, the Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus Christ from God the Father and proceeds from the Father. Now, why all of this? He's given by the Father, sent by the Father, sent by the Son, and proceeds from the Father. Point four. Put these three things together, and you see the oneness of God the Father and Jesus Christ. You see the oneness. And five, you will see the mission of the Holy Spirit. The mission of the Holy Spirit. Not so much His person. We haven't dealt a whole lot with His person. But we see and understand the mission of Jesus Christ. The mission. And therefore, John 15:26 emphasizes the mission of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. He will bear witness of Me. We saw how, even for the believer, you want to love as Christ loved, fulfilling of the new commandment. Want to love just as Christ loved, got to have the Holy Spirit. Christ loved by the power of the Spirit, we got to love by the power of the Spirit. So He is a witness of Me to both unbelievers and believers. We have the future indicative of martyreo, which means to witness, to give a witness. Later we're going to see that He will glorify. Here He's a witness. He teaches of Christ, glorifies Christ, and witnesses of Christ. So we certainly want to know how to be filled with the Spirit. So, and then He says He will bear witness of Me. Who am I? I'm the Savior, the King, the Christ, the Anointed, your friend. Chapter 15, He says He's our friend. So you want to understand Jesus Christ now, you better know how to walk with His Spirit. Okay, what's going on here? One, first the witness of or by the Holy Spirit is true. He's the Spirit of Truth. So the witness of by the Holy Spirit is truth. Two, the Holy Spirit will bear witness of Jesus Christ to the unbeliever. That'll come up in chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. Three, He will bear witness of Jesus Christ through the believer who walks in His power. He will bear witness of Christ through the believer who walks by His power from the time of the disciples to the rapture of the church. And then 4, He will bear witness of Jesus Christ inside of every believer who walks in the Holy Spirit. How do you walk in the Holy Spirit? We'll cover this, but I want to answer right now. How do you walk in the Holy Spirit? By faith in the Holy Spirit. The next specific teaching of Jesus Christ on the Holy Spirit is in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 7. So let's turn to chapter 16, verse 7. What we're doing, if you recall, we're just looking at the teaching on the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. And it actually started even before the upper room, but we've kind of concentrated ourselves to the beginning of the dissertation on the Holy Spirit in the upper room. All right, John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Paraclete, and I hope that's just becoming familiar with you now. You don't feel weird about it. I don't know about that. I hope it's just very simple for you. Because there's no English word for this word. No English translation. I do not go away. For if I do not go away, the Paraclete shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Their sorrow will be brief. There will be sorrowful that he's going to leave, but that sorrow will be brief by the second sending. The departure of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit. These things will happen so quickly, but for these men, it will seem very difficult in that period of time. All right, let's get to work here in verse 7. But I tell you the truth. This is the only time Jesus Christ introduces what he is talking about in this manner. It's the only time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Only time. Normally what he says, and you're familiar with it, I assume, verily, verily, I say to you, or verily is amen. And it means to be firm, to be true, to be trustworthy. But here Jesus Christ says, but I tell you the truth. Okay, but, contrast. In contrast to your sorrow, that I've got to go away, he's been telling him he's going to leave, I have good news. I know you're sorrowful because of my departure. Verse 6, which we didn't read, but you can read it. I know you're sorrowful because of my departure. His departing, he tells him he's going to leave. That makes him sorrowful. But, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go. So, I tell you emphasizes their advantage. I tell you, I myself, your Savior, your friend, and one who has told you things that caused you to be sorrowful, I now tell you things that will cause you to be happy, joy. I myself tell, speak, communicate this biblical truth to you for your advantage. Listen to me, men. Unfortunately, they didn't. Truth, the truth. And yes, there's a definite article, the truth, the reality. But I myself tell you, for your advantage, the truth. Okay, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, before we even examine this phrase, I just want you to think about it for a moment. They see Jesus Christ face to face. They walk with Him. They can touch Him. They talk to Him personally. They hear His voice audibly. If you hear Jesus Christ audibly speaking to you, don't tell anyone. Just keep that to yourself. Okay? But they could hear Him audibly speaking. And yet Jesus Christ says to them, it is to your advantage I go away. Boy, that, if you just think about it, how can that be? Here is the Son of God, my Savior, my friend. I've followed Him now for some 3 years, give and take a little bit. And it's to my advantage that you go away. Okay, here's the principle. Having the universal presence of the Holy Spirit is better than having the physical presence of Jesus Christ. Having the universal presence, by that I mean the presence of the Holy Spirit in every born-again believer, indwelling every believer, is better than having the physical presence of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that we live in the best dispensation or period of history with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? The only thing better will be in the millennium, when there will be both the indwelling of the Spirit and the physical presence of Jesus Christ. But if you took, we could not get into a debate about how old the earth, how humanity is on earth, but let's just say, 4, 5, 6, 6,500 years. And we in the church age live in the best dispensation by the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. Now this may be difficult for the disciples to grasp at the moment, but when the Holy Spirit comes, it will turn their sorrow into gladness. Let's take a look at the phrase on how important the Holy Spirit is. It is to your advantage. Your advantage, the word means profitable, advantageous, to bring things together, to benefit. And the best way I know how to go through this is just give you some few points to for the flow of thinking here, where it is to your advantage that I go away. And I just want you to think about that. That's pretty. How many of us, if we walk with the Lord, would think it's to our advantage that He goes away? No way. Won't you stay right here so I can follow you, so I can what? Walk by sight. If you're here and you go there, then I can follow you. You turn right, I can turn right. I don't have to use faith. I just watch you, just follow you. See? The disciples walk by sight. They're going to have to learn to walk by faith, just as you and I walk. But what is so great about this, and I'm going to summarize these for you in points, but let me just talk to you. What is so wonderful here is that a believer in the United States, a believer in Brazil, Mexico, India, Europe, Italy, France, if there are any believers in France, no, there are, I'm just kidding. A believer anywhere, Africa, anywhere in the world. They can walk by faith, follow the Holy Spirit, and have Jesus Christ present inside of them. That's powerful. If He were here physically, only those who had the privilege of being near Him would have that privilege. See? But now, believers all over the world can experience the Christ-like life, the Spirit-filled life. Okay, let's just summarize some of these things in some quick points. One, principle. We do not always know what is best for us. It is to your advantage that I go away. We do not always know what's best for us. What is to our advantage? Now, we think we do. But God knows in truth what is to our advantage. And therefore, to walk by faith is much better than walking by sight. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because I don't know what's to my advantage. God does. God knows what's to my advantage. I got to walk by faith and trust Him. Two, it is difficult to see an advantage when you are in sorrow. In fact, it's difficult to see an advantage when everything looks helpless. But in God's plan, He always works things out for our advantage. Now it's up to us to take advantage of what God is giving to us. Point three. Right now, it is difficult for the disciples to even begin to conceive of it being to their advantage at the departure of Jesus Christ. Why am I spending this time on a basic study on this? Because I want you to see how important the presence of the Holy Spirit is to you people. I want you to think about Him constantly. I want you to walk by faith in Him. He takes the place of Jesus Christ in that sense. How am I going to follow Him? By faith, trusting Him. Point four, the departure of Jesus Christ is to their, parentheses, our, yours and mine, parentheses closed, advantage. Because now they will learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. How can that be to their advantage? Because people, the whole world of believers, can't follow Jesus Christ. There's not a Holiday Inn that big. Nor do you want all Christians in one little confined area on earth. You want Christians all over the world so that we can witness for Christ. You don't want them all in one place following the Lord. He's going to tell them to go out, spread the gospel all out. No, not me. I'm staying with you. And I want to tell you something. That'd be me. I want to stay right here. I want to hear everything you teach. I want to hear everything you say. I want to watch everything you do. You're my Savior, my friend, my love, my life. I don't want to go out. So He leaves. But He sends to us the Holy Spirit. And by the presence of the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus Christ. So we want to know about this Holy Spirit. Point six, the departure of Jesus Christ is to their, our advantage. Because now every individual can have Jesus Christ come into them by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Not out there, but inside you. Not out there where you can look and follow Him, but inside of you where you can fellowship with Him regardless of circumstances. Regardless of time frame in church history. You can be in prison. You can be in poverty. You can be isolated. You can be all the circumstances that cover the 2,000 years of church history. And have Jesus Christ present in you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. People, this is powerful. This is dynamic. Now you're going to be able to begin to see how we can love as He loved. So it's to their advantage. Because every believer can have Jesus Christ come into them by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we look forward to Him face to face. I do. I look forward to seeing Him face to face. But now, during the church age, we have Jesus Christ in us. John 14, 20 and 23. Point 7. Finally, point 7. Their loss, Jesus Christ departing, will turn into their gain, their great benefit, the sending of the Holy Spirit, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And just by a point of encouragement, just want you to understand, in your own personal life, God can turn your most severe loss into your most blessed gain. I don't care what it is in life. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, finance, health, freedom, whatever it is. God can turn the most severe loss into your most blessed gain, if you let Him. If you let Him. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. Now I want you to note the progression. Note the progression in this verse. Take a look at it now with me. I go away from you. If I do not go away from you, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go away from you, I will send him to you. Condition of the sending of the Holy Spirit, the departure of Jesus Christ. The pain of separation of Jesus Christ will be erased by the coming of the one who will comfort. In this context, seeing Parakletos translated comforter is fine. It is to your advantage that I go away. Emphasis here is not so much on where he is going, but that he is going away from them. Okay, just very quickly, for the record, let's get it down. First, he must go away to the cross. And it is to their advantage and ours that he goes away to the cross. Secondly, he must go away to the Father, that the Holy Spirit might come. And what we're seeing here is an interesting thing in history. We're seeing the changing of the guard. By the way, it is to your advantage and to our advantage, to their advantage and our advantage, that he goes to the Father and sends us the Holy Spirit. What we're seeing is the changing of the guards. Changing of the guards. This is something that's patterned throughout Scripture. We studied this pattern. Moses to Joshua. Elijah to Elisha. Wonderful studies that are analogous to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is a study of Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha. Okay? For if I do not go away from you, but he is going to go away from them, but please hear this in the ears of the disciples. Up to now, they've had the Lord to take care of them. They've had the Lord to lead them. They just follow the Lord. I think it's funny, he rose down to Jerusalem. And Thomas goes, well, all right, let's go to Jerusalem and die. I'm going to go with you. I'll follow you, but I was going to die. Well, they didn't, but he did. And they walked by sight. And he's saying, I'm going to go away. And they've kind of gotten used to walking by sight. It's easy to get used to walking by sight. It's really easy. You walk by the law. You walk by rules. You walk by do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. Little here, little there. It's easy in life. Here are my rules. Hey, I got it. Walking by faith, I don't know about that. It's kind of analogous to parts of Russia when it dismantled. Some were ready for the market system, but most of them are not. And they just went right back to a form of socialistic communism. It's just not for everyone. Walking by faith is difficult. It's wonderful. It's non-enslaving. It's freedom. But it's difficult because the flesh nature doesn't like it. Okay? So, the changing of the guard. But if I go away from you, he's going to go away. And I will say, the helper, the paraclete. That's the King James's comforter in context, and in most befitting, I guess, to have it comforter. But if I do not go away, the paraclete will not come to you. Why not? Why will the Holy Spirit not come if Jesus Christ is still here on earth? You'll have to read and study John 7, 38 and 39. Well, let's just kind of read it together at least, so that you have it in your framework of why this has to happen, why Jesus Christ has to leave before the Holy Spirit can come. John 7, 38 and 39. 38, he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were, future tense, day of Pentecost, to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given. Why not? Because Christ Jesus was not yet glorified. So he has to ascend, be seated at the right hand of God the Father, then he can send the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's note some principles here. One, the Holy Spirit is God. And as God has always existed as a member of the Godhead. This isn't the first time the Holy Spirit's been here on earth by any means. What Jesus Christ is talking about, this is technical. The Holy Spirit is God. As God, he's always existed as a member of the Godhead. Two, the Holy Spirit has had a part of human history all the way back from Genesis 1-2 with the restoration of the world. Three, the Holy Spirit has a part in everyone's eternal salvation, Old Testament, New Testament, convicting ministry. Four, the Holy Spirit filled believers all through the Old Testament, but did not indwell them. What Jesus Christ is talking about is a technical concept of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we studied last hour. They could lose the filling of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We can lose the filling, but we cannot lose the indwelling. Point five. But with the departure of Jesus Christ, ascending into heaven, being seated at the right hand of God the Father, both of those are essential. This is the glorification of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. So now Christ is glorified. He has departed. He's glorified. Now we're ready for point six. Now that Jesus Christ has departed from earth, glorified in heaven, the Holy Spirit can come and indwell every believer in Jesus Christ. Every believer in Jesus Christ. Point seven. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ can now also come and reside inside of every believer, all along with God the Father. John 14, nearly all of John 14, John 13, 31, 32. Right? Point 8. This beautiful picture of Jesus Christ's departure and His Holy Spirit ministry to believers is seen in the story of the Good Samaritan. Just very quickly, without going to the passage, most of you know that story. A man is beaten on the side of the road. That's a picture of the church age believer. And people walk by. That's a picture of the age of Israel. The Jews walk by. Would have nothing to do with that Gentile beaten up. And here comes a Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus Christ. He comes over and pours oil, heals. That's a picture of salvation. Heals this man. And then what does he do? What does the Good Samaritan do? He takes him to the inn, and he turns over this man to the innkeeper and says, take care of him until I return. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ turns us over to the caring ministry of God the Holy Spirit during his absence. Now, there are other symbolic things in there, but that's the simplicity of it, of what's going on with the Good Samaritan. So, So now our passage says, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the paraclete, caretaker, if you please, coming off of the Good Samaritan story, the caretaker, the innkeeper, the caretaker, shall not come to you. We've looked at the departure of Jesus Christ from the standpoint of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at it just for a moment from the standpoint of Jesus Christ himself. Point one. First, he must go from them to the cross. That's the first thing he must do. He must leave them, go to the cross, pay the debt for sins for the whole world. Second, then Jesus Christ must depart from the whole earth that the Holy Spirit can come to the sealed believers in the church age. Three, if Jesus Christ does not depart and go to heaven, to God the Father, and send the Holy Spirit, that is, if Jesus Christ remains on earth, he would be confined to one place. The physical body of Jesus Christ is not omnipresent. Now, this would be nice for all of those who are around him. Sure. You got to be around him, serve him, or be around him. That'd be wonderful. But the whole body of Christ can't do that. The presence of the Holy Spirit can make Jesus Christ universally inside of every born-again believer empowered by the Holy Spirit. In other words, if Jesus Christ stays here confined, if he goes to heaven and sends the Holy Spirit, he can have fellowship with every believer regardless of where they are. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. This is unbelievable. It's a reality that every one of us can enjoy, people. You can enjoy if you know how to be filled with the Spirit. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And point four, if he departs, he can serve all members of the church by interceding for believers next to God the Father. He intercedes for us. 5, if he departs, he can prepare a home for all believers of the church. John 13, 2 and 3. Okay, but if I go, another problem. But if I go, the New American Standard, the NIV, translate, if I go. The King James is correct here. If I depart. We have two different words for go and depart. And we have two different words in this one verse for going away. Two different words. John 16:7. We have a distinction between going away and departing. Going away refers specifically to his going to the cross, his death. Departing is used technically for going to God the Father. John 14:12, 14:28, and 16:28. So, going away is in reference to the cross. Departing is in reference to going to God the Father. He is going away to the cross that he can save us from our sins. He is going to depart and go back to God the Father so that he can send us the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is future, verified by the next phrase, which takes place afterwards. He is with the Father. I will send him. After he goes away, after he departs to be with the Father, I will send him to you. If I depart to the Father, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you. Okay? Next, the teaching on by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is found in chapters 16, verses 8 through 11. This is his ministry to the unbeliever. So let's just resume. Let's skip over that. That's not part really of our study here for the working on the Holy Spirit and you and the believer. So let's resume our study on the sending of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ in verse 12 of chapter 16. So we're just dealing with the teaching of the Holy Spirit by Jesus Christ. That's how important it is. All this teaching that he did. All right, verse 12. I have many more things. Now, this is where we really began our whole study on the Holy Spirit, presenting the problem. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The problem, no ability. What was the solution? John 14, sending of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at verse 13 in chapter 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. This is one thing he will do. We've already seen he will witness of Christ. He will teach. He will bring into remembrance. Now we learn more. He will teach you. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak to the believer. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me. He will witness of Christ. Glorify Christ. You want to glorify Christ? You truly glorify Christ in your life? People, it's going to have to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you better know how to be filled with the Spirit. And then you better walk in the Spirit. He will glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All right, let's look at verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, Jesus Christ speaks truth, and here he talks about the Spirit of truth speak, and the Spirit will teach truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Okay. More and more on the teaching and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Paraclete by Jesus Christ himself. Let's take a look at some of those things. Learning biblical truth, Bible doctrine, if you please. Learning biblical truth is essential to Christ. He will teach you, he will guide you, he will remind you over and over these concepts. You're unable to understand the Scriptures without him. So the learning of biblical truth is essential to Jesus Christ. And why not? Let's take a look. It leads to walking, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word will encourage and direct us to do that. It leads to knowing more and more about Him, Jesus Christ. It encourages the believer to love as Jesus Christ loved. It being doctrine. It being biblical truth. It being the understanding of the Bible. It teaches more and more about time, history, the plan of God, and where we fit into it. It teaches and reveals more and more about the Father, God the Father. It teaches on prophecy, future events, time and eternity. It teaches on solving stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. It teaches on these things. Okay? So, these are the things that it does. Now, before we go on beyond this verse, let's just take a look at something here very quickly. In 14:26, he will bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Okay? He will bring to remembrance things that Christ taught them. 2:16-13, he will teach. He will teach. People, the Holy Spirit is so important that we understand who He is, what He is, how to access Him. He doesn't make everybody weird. Didn't make Jesus Christ weird. Didn't make the disciples weird. Don't be afraid to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. 3, He will guide you into all truth. 4, He will disclose to you what is to come. And 5, He will glorify me. So just take a look at these things. Bring to remembrance. Teach, guide, disclose, glorify Jesus Christ. He will guide you into all truth. Future. To guide the church age. For he will not speak on his own initiative. That is from himself. All right, let's quickly handle what's going on here. 1. Please understand this does not mean that the Holy Spirit will not speak about himself. He will reveal about himself. He will indeed reveal the truth concerning who and what he is. Secondly, he will reveal a great deal about himself. Well, 2 now, the incarnate Christ did not speak from himself either. Don't be too upset or make more out of this than what's there. He says he will not speak on his own initiative. That is from himself. Well, neither did Jesus Christ. And I've given you several verses you can look at. Gospel of John 3:24, 5:19 and 20. John 7:16 through 18. John 8:26 through 29. John 8:42 and 43. John 12:47 through 50. John 14:10. 3. Nor does the Holy Spirit speak what comes from Himself, as distinct from that which comes from God the Father. The source is divine of the Trinity. 5, that's what's going on here. 5, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus Christ did not speak of Himself, neither would the Holy Spirit, as though they were mortals or competing deities. They don't do that. 5, understanding this phrase is the framework of the gospel flow of the Bible. and God's plan of redemption of mankind, not speaking of himself, speaking of God and the whole plan that God has. Point six, so both the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ communicate exactly what is in accordance with their mission in the redemption of mankind and in the glorification of God the Father. Point seven, they speak in perfect unity of the head. He will disclose to you what is to come. Okay, very quickly. Let's take a look. King James, he will show you. NIV, he will tell you. NASV, he will disclose to you. Disclose, show, tell. This gets very close to what we saw in Isaiah 43, where God said, I declare, I save, I proclaim. So all of these words deal with the same type of deal. The Greek word here that is used, that translated to show, to tell, to disclose, means to declare, to announce, to make known something. And the classical Greek means to bring news of what one has observed or done. And so this is the same thing that God does in his wonderful plan for us. Okay, 16:13. But when he, the Paraclete, the Spirit of truth, so that he reveals the truth, comes, day of Pentecost, he will guide you into all truth. We are already dependent on the Holy, we are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, understanding the Word of God. Having the Word of God is not enough. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate the truth of the Word of God, the spiritual understanding. For he will not speak on his own initiative. He will reveal mysteries of God and things Christ wanted him to tell the disciples or us. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose, reveal, announce to you you what is to come. Okay? He will teach. He will bring to remembrance. He will testify of me. He will guide you. He will speak. He will disclose. Six different words to communicate the communication of the Holy Spirit. Teach, remembrance, testify, guide, speak, disclose. Six different words teaching the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're about ready to go into how to be filled with the Spirit. But I just wanted to spend this time with you on Jesus Christ, the most important teacher on the Holy Spirit and all the Bible. Now, where do we have all this information? Right here in the floor of the upper room, and as they left the upper room, as we have right now with Jesus Christ. People, it is so important that we understand the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. What an awesome God you are indeed, Father. You saw our need. As sinners. Unrighteous, impure, unclean. And you sent your Son. And then you provided a means of accessing his work without depending on us, because we could do nothing. You came up with the genius of faith. And then you saw our need as believers living this Christian life in the flesh. And you came up with a wonderful solution. You sent us your Spirit. And again, the easy, wonderful, gracious way of accessing his power by faith. Father, what we're really seeing here is your love and the love of your Son for us. We would be slapping his love in the face if we fail to walk by this Spirit. Father, we thank you and we pray now that you'll take the things we've seen, have them become a reality at first in our souls, and then a reality in our lives. To to this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.